This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You're listening to the best of America Tonight.
I don't like when the president says, and if China doesn't, then we'll do it on our own, because this has to be something where there's a consensus about the approach we take.
North Korea, so problematic. Kim Jong-un, what are we to do? Hey, everybody, that was Nancy Pelosi, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. But that's not the biggest story, at least midweek. How about Trump, our president, telling Mexico and Canada we're not going to leave NAFTA? Because there was big concern over that. I heard Trudeau just popped a cork, and this had to do with the Canadian lumber. So the president was on the hotline, so to speak, with both countries, saying he's not going to terminate NAFTA, but wants to renegotiate with them. And this is on the heels of advisors in the White House saying they were considering an executive order to withdraw from the trade pact with those countries. However, Enrique Peña Nieto and the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau both were told that that's not going to happen. Mexico's peso and Canada's dollar fell against the U.S. dollar, with the peso shedding about 1.5%, by the way, in just over an hour because of so much of that news. So we're looking at NAFTA and renegotiating that. Remember, there was a formal threat. Well, there wasn't a formal threat, but there was a threat to kill NAFTA. But legal experts say he likely has the authority as president to give a 60-day notice that we're exiting the pact. It was under an executive order signed by Trump on January 23rd that the United States pull out of the sweeping Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal. So that's different, though, than NAFTA. If withdrawing from NAFTA would enable him to say he delivered, certainly, on one of his key campaign promises, but it could hurt him in states that voted for him. So it could hurt him, if not doing that, in states that voted for him in the election. But a renegotiation, there's the question, what does that renegotiation look like? What does it look like? By the way, since we started with North Korea, Congressman William Hurd says Trump has the resolve to deal with North Korea. He said that after a classified White House briefing on the dictator's nuclear and missile activities. He went deeper and said they're going to use all levers of national power, diplomatic, military, intelligence, economic, boom. That's how we deal with it. Now, Hurd, so you know a little bit about his background, as a former undercover CIA agent in Afghanistan who was the first elected in 2014. He participated in that classified moment at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with other House members. Senators were briefed earlier on Pyongyang by administration officials. So the idea is, can we handle North Korea? Because North Korea is one of the places, if you think about it, he's more of a threat to China than the U.S.-South Korean alliance. North Korea is one of the places they could potentially kill tens of millions of people within 12 to 13 minutes. There's a definite threat there. So the Chinese have been a difficult partner when it comes to North Korea because of the threat. I mean, that threat is real because you have to think of location, location, Let me say it again. Location. So there you go. We start always with what's happening, the buzz on the Hill and down the street, because it does affect you and I ultimately. If any of this becomes laws, or what changes with NAFTA, or what would change with taxes. That's been really the most interesting, I think the most interesting thing of the whole week is taxes, taxes, taxes. And the president is proposing dramatic cuts to personal and corporate taxes. In fact, his plan cuts the top personal rate to 35% from 39.6% to 35%. So he wants to simplify the personal tax code by cutting rates but eliminating deductions used by more affluent Americans. So that would cut it down. It would reduce the number of tax brackets from seven. That's big. The new tax rates would be 10%, 25%, and 35%. The plan would double the standard deduction for married couples to $24,000, while keeping deductions for charitable giving and mortgage interest payments and all that. The plan would trim other deductions used by more high-income Americans, including state and local tax payments. So it could be interesting. It also would repeal the estate tax. That's kind of the catch-all alternative minimum tax, and the 3.8% tax on investment income from the health care law that we have in place right now. But what are the chances that all that goes through? I mean, that's the question. That would be pretty dramatic. Governor, if you remember the governor of Louisiana, or he was the governor of Louisiana, the former Louisiana governor, Bobby Jindal, in response to Trump's tax cut, he was on Fox News, said the government needs to do so by shrinking the federal budget dramatically. I mean, they proposed this plan that would cut taxes for corporations from 35 to 15% and reduce the number of the income tax brackets that I just mentioned. He says, I'm all for paying for it by cutting the budget, but I think we need to shrink the federal budget and rein in entitlements apart from tax cuts. We need to do that anyway, is what he's saying. We can't just keep kicking the can down the road. But Trump's Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, said that entitlement programs weren't on the chopping block. We're not touching those now, is what he said, especially Social Security and Medicare. It's not part of the budget. We're very focused on other aspects, and that's important, and that's the president's priority. So how far does this go? Be interesting to watch this. I think the Democrats will not approve of it, but again, look at the numbers on the Hill. All right, hang with us. Odds and Ends coming up next here on America Tonight.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calvin Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
For P150, P150GA, P150NY, P150OK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-972-5856. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-972-5856. That's 1-800-972-5856. 1-800-972-5856.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
You're listening to the best of America Tonight.
Mean everything is all right. Sunrise lifting in the sky. The skies mean we are gonna play nice. Sunrise till we say goodnight.
How about a little odds and ends? And there are plenty of them to go around. Trust me. As you listen to us, Kim on KPAM in Portland sending me a bunch of emails. That's some pretty interesting stuff, actually. Talking about robots and what do I think robots are going to mean in the future. I think, you know, the big concern for a lot of people is, will robots take away jobs? And the answer is yes. Absolutely. But let's hope that there are other jobs created in other areas. You know, if you talk to anyone working in that industry, it is pretty incredible with the technology, what robots are capable, or robotics in directions, I guess, that it's headed. Certainly there is the need for the human touch, but how many people will be replaced by robots in one way? In one way, sad. I was thinking this the other day when I went through the tolls on the Bush Turnpike, it's called. And it's run by a Spanish group. And it used to be that there were people there. So there was express lanes, but there were people there. Now all of those jobs are gone. I don't know how many, but it was quite a few, because it's automated. Everything is automated there, and so certainly it's not too far fetched to think that we're going to see more and more of that in the near future. So it could be a little bit down the road, but in some arenas it's already happening. Right, let's move to something else. How about this? I happened to see this today. I mean, this is nothing new, and actually we have had people on the show and talked about the death penalty a lot. And I was just reading something about this report that compares Texas Solidarity to saying that Texas Solidarity is, you know, it is just like the death penalty. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Are they talking about meaning in the cost? Are they talking about what? And they're comparing different elements of it in this report. And I understand the leap they were making, but I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. And of course, there have been problems. But this report compared the death row practices in the end in the state of Texas to torture, saying some prisoners can't have physical contact with relatives even on their way to the execution, and that was inhumane. I mean, here's the thing. What I think every case is different. Every individual case is different. And from what I understand, a lot of those cases are treated that way, if that makes sense. I mean, here's the deal. The death penalty has those that favor it and those that absolutely hate it. And, of course, how is the death penalty meted out? What's the story behind each one of those individual crimes? Of course, I think it's hard to take a brush and paint it in a broad way across all of it. But they are saying that Texas is the worst of how the prisoners are treated, and it's inhumane. But I'm thinking, well, wait a second. But then you look at the death row aspect of it anyway. So to me, I think that report's just a tad confusing, a little bit confusing. How about this? Serena Williams said in an interview the other day that she was taking a personal photo of her pregnancy on Snapchat when she accidentally made the post public. I think that happens to everybody. I think that people hit buttons. I've done it. You hit a button, it's only supposed to go to one person and it goes to everyone. Or you hit a button, you hit reply too soon and there's a misspelling or whatever it might be. But that's the perils of social media, right? Because usually we're kind of in a rush a lot of times. She might not have been in a rush, but sometimes we're in a rush. And boom, you hit something, and there you go. It's too late. It's already pumped out there. So she let the world know, that's for sure. Once they saw her, oh, okay. Well, now we know. She definitely is pregnant. Pope Francis got into the fray. He gave a TED Talk. He called on technophiles and entrepreneurs to practice humble leadership. He did this in a video recording shown in Vancouver. So how about that? You know, there is something about technology and the loss of touch. And what is the human connection? There we go, where I was just talking about Serena Williams and social media. But this is how fast, I mean, technology moves so fast, and in high-tech companies, it is the press forward to get bigger, badder, better, and knock out the competition, especially at the upper level of any kind of a startup that all of a sudden takes off. Like here on America Tonight, coming up, we have more of that conversation with Liza Landsman of Jet.com and how quickly that company just soared, and then Walmart swooped in and bought them for $3 billion. And when there's more stories that are seeded out there like that, there's more anxiety to push, get better, bigger, badder, because you know that you've got that competition breathing down your neck. How about this? What do you get the Sith Lord who has everything? Get the reference there? A solid gold 33-pound headpiece, which is going to go on sale in Japan May 4th. You know how much this is worth? Think of Star Wars. $1.4 million. Wow. $1.4 million. Someone will snap it up, I guarantee it. I mean, who? I don't know. But there'll be somebody that will jump on the action. Since we're talking about a lot of technology and social media, Pete Sousa, a chief photographer in the Obama White House, has gained 1 million followers on Instagram who follow his commentary on President Trump, which is pretty interesting because it is very difficult on Instagram. It's much more difficult, I think, on Instagram to get followers than anywhere else. So because he has such a following, guess what? He got a book deal. So, and part of it is because, of course, he was there. He was part of the, he was there constantly taking photographs. So he's working on a book, Obama, An Intimate Portrait, The Historic Presidency in Photographs. And the publisher, Little Brown, said they announced that they're releasing it. And it has a collection of over 300 photographs. He said he is narrowing choices from a pool of, you know how many he took? 10,000. Wow, 10,000 photos. That is crazy, isn't it? But that's what you do when you're a photographer, because you got to get the right angle. So you might take or catch different angles. So now his photos are generating their own headlines, especially after the Trump White House said it wouldn't release visitors' logs. The photographer, Sousa, posted a funny update on Instagram. He said, bet he was noted in the visitors' logs. And he wrote of a photo of Mr. Obama passing through metal detectors at the White House. That's what he said when he was going through the White House. So that's how he's kind of getting these, I think that's how he's getting this attention of the photographs that he's releasing, I suppose. And the photographs, actually, I have to say, are pretty good. And he was also an official White House photographer under Reagan. So he's been doing that. He's done that a couple of times. And he did it for Reagan. And then there he is. He's there for Obama, you know, too. And I guess he had great access. So because of that great access, he was able to get some phenomenal photographs. Liza Landsman, coming up next. Oh, you don't want to miss that. Stay with us.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over three decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better. My joints feel better. I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both notice that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
You're listening to the best of America Tonight.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
And once again, we're here with Liza Landsman, president of Jet.com. We were talking about the amazing story of how quickly Jet.com ascended and then was acquired by Walmart and what that feeling was like. I have a question for you, Liza. We're going to ask you about Dig South because, of course, you're at Dig South. But do you have a mentor? I'm speaking to a lot of people lately, a lot of CEOs, and I find that they have usually one person or two people that have influenced them their whole life and they go back to them, or they have somebody new that they rely on. How about you?
Yeah, I would say I probably have two or three, one or two folks from business, you know, from work that are sort of my touchstones and people who I really lean on for guidance and counsel. And then, you know, it's a little bit old fashioned, but I'd also say my mom, great role model for me. Working woman from, you know, the time I was a pretty young kid, and, you know, the grace with which she navigated, being a very present mom and an incredibly successful businesswoman, and the respect and kindness she showed her colleagues and peers, is something that has always really been a huge influence on me.
Wow. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Thank you for sharing that with us. And
she's pretty cool.
What does mom think of your life today as the president of Jet.com?
She's very, very proud. She wished I traveled a little less.
A true mom. So, yeah. Speaking of traveling, you and I together are going to be hanging around Dig South this week in Charleston, South Carolina. And I'm really intrigued by the topic of your keynote, because you're going to talk about things like understanding digital natives and how to grow to $1 billion in sales in just under a year. Those are two huge, huge topics. But one I want to focus on first is just help us understand what you see when you just see the words digital natives. What does that phrase mean to you? And then what do you think about them in terms of your business, Jet.com?
Sure. I mean, I think about something very straightforward, although I'm a little bit of an aberration for my generation in that, you know, I grew up in the 70s, but I had a computer in my house because my dad is a computer engineer. That's very unusual. I think about my own kids and the generation just ahead of them who think of computers and technology the way I grew up thinking about the refrigerator. That is, it's just a thing in my house that performs a utility, and I don't even consciously think about it as technology. And I think there is something inherently different about the usage and approach to technology and the role that it plays in the lives of those folks who grew up thinking about, you know, AI like a refrigerator. And so it just presents different challenges and different opportunities for marketers and brand builders and business people to recognize that there is something different in the way they have to approach that set of consumers.
Yeah, it's interesting in talking about what you're focusing on at your keynote. That it's popular, I think, for people to try to grapple with the question that you're actually addressing. So I would imagine, Liza, you get a ton of requests to speak at conferences. Why did you jump on Dig South?
Well, two reasons. One of the organizers is a dear friend, and so he made a very compelling case. And the second is... I really love the idea that, you know, kind of this wave of innovation in digital, this wave of new ideas in technology is not constrained to Silicon Valley or Austin or New York or Seattle, right? That all over the country, there are these new exploding hubs where great new thinking and great new work is coming, and so getting to be a part of one of those communities was really interesting to me.
Yeah, you know, and talking about technology and just how fast our technology advancements are moving and how we grapple with them and, you know, really kind of wrap our arms around it, you see the explosion of video in the me culture. Do you ever see melding that more with what you're doing? Like, for example, I'm a speaker and I travel all over the place and people want me to do these Facebook Lives all the time, but I don't want to be live all the time, but they want video. They want to feel, touch, and, you know, they want to really just see you there. What do you see as future adoptions for you and your business?
Look, I think content in many forms plays a crucial role in how we connect with today's consumer. Video certainly plays a significant role in that. I would argue that we're also experiencing, you know, kind of the second golden age of audio. When you think about what's happening in radio, digital radio, and podcasting today. And so the thing that I think is actually critical when we think about kind of this generation of consumers is that they're not homogenous. Right? People tend to sort of talk about them as if they're all the same. And in fact, they have just as many, you know, individual quirks as the generations that came before. And so, you know, yes, there's obviously lots of folks who want to consume content through video, whether it's live or recorded. There are lots of folks who want to consume content through audio. We found also a lot of people respond really well to things we put out that are, you know, some combination of storytelling through visuals and the written word. And I think the thing that smart business people and marketers recognize is that you can't kind of homogenize down to one approach and think you're going to get a strong response from across those cohorts.
It's interesting. We're talking with Liza Landsman. She's the president of Jet.com. She's here in Charleston at Dig South, the New Media for the New South Conference, along with I'm here as well. Liza, one of the things that's amazed me about marketing conversations about digital natives and millennials is they almost seem like, in the world of tech, another set of unicorns. I mean, unicorn means one thing in the business community, but then there's this other entity, the digital native or the millennial, that people talk about almost as if it's a mythological character, a unicorn. And you're describing them with a much more, I think, realistic view. So I guess I'm wondering, if you look back on when you were growing up with the mom that you described, who being the wonderful woman that she is, clearly there were things about you in your life as a teenager and then in your 20s that set you apart from your mom's generation. And now we're looking at the digital natives and we see that their lives and their view of the world is so different than ours as adults. Do you think the changes are and the differences are really that great, or are they that much different because technology has redefined so much of our lives?
I certainly think technology has redefined a lot of our lives, but I don't think technology is the sole shaping influence on the nature of a generation. Certainly the massive economic downturn post-2008 cast a pretty long shadow over the generation coming of age. When I think about it, you know, when I was growing up, there were, post-70s, right, a lot of my formative years in my 20s were these like very boom years in the stock market. And I remember, you know, my generation, we were all shocked in 2001 post 9/11 when the bottom fell out of the market, and that left a mark on us. So I think technology is a huge influence on how a generation consumes content and commerce, and to a certain extent to its values, but I also think there are massive cultural influences outside of technology. But smart business people and marketers think about those cultural influences as a consideration when they're designing technological solutions.
So, Liza, how do you tap into that? That's brilliant. It's like the three C's, commerce, cultural, talking about content, all of that is great. How do you make sure you tap into it and you're on the cutting edge?
Well, first of all, I work with a lot of millennials. So that is most of whom don't get any of my television references, but that's okay. So that's important. We have smart agency partners. And frankly, I think, as you know, most informed business people do, I read a lot. You know, I think it's important both to have experience live with the consumer set that you are focused on. But, you know, there are a lot of smart people out there researching, and never make the mistake of thinking, you know, you alone or your team alone has the perfect insight into your consumers.
And so my last question, our last question for you is, because this is a feature called Forbes Books at Bedtime, what keeps you, Liza Landsman, the president of Jet.com, what keeps you up at night?
Well, two things. I have two teenage kids, so just think about that. Although they're wonderful. But honestly, I sleep pretty well. I really do. You know, I think we have articulated a strategy that I think is smart and flexible, and we are in the business of, as my old former boss used to say, prosecuting it vigorously. But as always, many a slip between the cup and the lip. So the things that I worry about the most are just making sure we execute brilliantly, and that is a full-time gig because, you know, as they say, rough never sleeps.
I like that. Perfect place to end this. Liza Landsman, president of Jet.com. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Many books have been written regarding the law of attraction. But what if all these books are missing the most important information we can use when it comes to activating this law in our lives? The new book, It's Time to Align, the most powerful self-help book ever written by Alan Lautinger, takes a look at how the law of attraction really works and how it is being suppressed in our lives. Learn how to overcome this manipulation and how to experience alignment with the creative power of the universe. Get the new book, It's Time to Align, available at Amazon.com.
You're listening to the best of America Tonight. Now, I don't think we gave him too much Red Bull. I'm not sure about that. He's the complete opposite of many of us on the third shift who kick it into high gear a little bit later in the evening. Eric Peters is our guest, and he is a libertarian. He is self-professed libertarian gearhead. He writes about cars, energy, and freedom. Here's what I like. If you go to Eric Peters autos.com, because I'm an auto freak anyway, but if you go there, man, you will learn things that will make your eyes roll around in the back of your head, including some of the stuff that we've been talking about. What is the deal with biodiesel, which is being shoved down our throat, and who is really profiting from it? He calls it the Kool-Aid of the farm lobby, and I agree. Eric, thanks for hanging with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, of course, now there's a lot of conversation about this, especially with the Iowa caucuses and all that stuff, and we're right into the thick of it. It seems like every day Hillary Clinton is in Iowa. So to be these politicians in modern times, is that what they do? They just, all right, look, we gotta go along with biodiesel, or we gotta go along with ethanol. We keep hearing about the ethanol factor, but there's not even enough plants to manufacture what we would need, right?
Well, the interesting thing is that the lobby contributes equally to both political parties, and so in that way they've got both their bases covered. It really doesn't matter from their point of view which one gets elected, because ultimately it seems to be it's their guy or perhaps their woman, depending on how things turn out.
Yeah, so when you look at renewables, what specifically bothers you the most?
Well, let's see. Let's start with, we're told often about how advantageous it is to use these renewables. But if they're so advantageous, then why does the government have to force them down our throats? I've drawn the parallel with, I like to go to Chipotle. Your listeners may like Chipotle and get a burrito or a bowl there. And Chipotle doesn't send a lobbyist to Washington to have the government carve out a subsidy for Chipotle burritos because people like them and they're willing to buy them without any coercion involved. And I wonder why that same standard doesn't apply to these biofuels. If there's such a good idea, it shouldn't be necessary for the government to be involved.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing is, if it's such a good idea, then let's let the politicians drive around only on biofuels and really push that to all their constituents, which, of course, you know that's not happening, unless it's advantageous to them and they're in the breadbasket area or they're in areas where that's being pushed because of the corn lobbies there, then that's a whole different story. So it is about the power of the purse, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a very valid point. Similarly, with regard to Obamacare and various other things that they pass, they exempt themselves from it, and that's rather telling. You know, if it's not good for the goose, it shouldn't be good for the gander. The other point that I would make is that it does cause food prices to rise, simply because a lot of the potential food that could be produced for animal or human consumption, specifically with regard to ethanol, the corn, with regard to biodiesel, soybeans, is diverted to the production of these biofuels. And as a result of that, the cost of food goes up. So we're paying more for food and we're paying more for fuel.
Yeah, beef specifically would cost more. As I know, I'm in beef land in Dallas, and then it costs more, as I was talking to a farmer the other day, it costs more to ship that too, right?
Sure, because ethanol and biodiesel, it's less energy dense, so you have to burn more of it to go the same distance. So the truckers have to spend more on fuel to get from A to B, and the stuff that they're hauling costs us more because it's cost more to produce it.
Yeah, and then here's the other part of this, Eric. What about older cars? What does that do to older cars when you're talking about using these alternatives?
Ethanol has been a disaster for older vehicles, which were not designed to accommodate high alcohol content fuels. Most of the ethanol that's sold right now is E10, meaning that the gas you buy is 10% ethanol. They're pushing for E15, which would be 15% ethanol, and they're also looking down the road at E85. Which is 85% ethanol. Alcohol is a corrosive fuel, and if the vehicle's fuel system is not designed specifically to accommodate it, you get all kinds of problems. One of the big ones is that it attracts moisture, and moisture is a big enemy of your fuel system. It causes fuel lines to rot out, and it's in particular playing havoc with people who have marine engines and so on, and power sports, lawn equipment and what have you. It's been really, really tough on those things.
Yeah, so when we look at that all combined, and then you look at the auto industry, and if you're producing new cars, I guess it depends on what it is you're producing and where you're at. But that could be a disaster, too, as well, for many in the auto industry, especially when they're in that, what I call the second-hand market, when we're talking about, like, used cars, right?
Yeah, it's accelerating the obsolescence of the older cars because it's increasing the wear and tear on them and getting them out of the market. And the other side of the coin is that, to get back to the point about being less energy dense, your fuel efficiency goes down when you're using these fuels. And that's rather ironic because we're constantly told about how imperative it is that we get higher efficiency and more miles per gallon, and yet the government is force-feeding fuels that are less fuel efficient on the public.
Yeah. All right. I'd be remiss, Eric, if I didn't ask you this. We're speaking to Eric Peters. You can check him out at ericpetersautos.com. You know, you write about cars, and I saw a picture of you on a motorcycle. What's your favorite chariot to ride in? What do you like the best?
Cars or bikes?
Bikes.
Okay, I've got an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple, and for people who are familiar with those, in particular the H2 750 that was made in the early mid-70s, and they are They were known as the Widowmaker back in the day because of their power curve. And there's nothing that quite makes the sound of a Kawasaki two-stroke triple on its power curve. There are bikes today that are much faster and much quicker, but they're much more controlled. As Hunter Thompson would say, it takes a real man to ride an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple.
I love that. How do you feel about, I know you wrote about this, you know, if you go to your website, you can read all this stuff, but you wrote about the Toyota Camry Hybrid. A lot of people are talking about hybrids, and what does that mean, and should I get a hybrid, and how much does it cost to me, and what did you find with the Camry?
Well, I find, now, I think the technology is impressive and interesting, but despite all the hobbles that have been put on them by the government, you can get diesels that will do as well or better for significantly less money. With all due respect to Toyota, and I like the Camry, it's a good car, you can pick up something like a Volkswagen Jetta TDI diesel for about $5,500 less than the base price of the Camry Hybrid. And in real-world driving, and I drive these cars for a living, and so I can tell you from personal experience, you will match the mileage of the hybrid, in particular if you drive a lot on the highway, which most people tend to do, for less money with less hassle. So I'm very impressed with some of the diesel cars that are on the market right now.
Yeah. When you go out, because obviously, you know, you ride a lot, and if you're on your bike, do you have a favorite route that you take?
Yeah, I live out here in the sticks of rural Southwest Virginia, and there's a road just down the road from me called Bent Mountain, and it's a series of S-turns that goes about 2-3 miles from about 1,500 feet at the valley floor all the way up to about 3,000 feet in that relatively short distance, and it's the finest test track you'll find on the East Coast, in my opinion.
Wow. So, you know, I said this in the beginning, too, mixing in the politics of the libertarian bent. When you look at the fact that on Thursday we got 10 people on a stage of the Republican debate, is there anyone in that crowd that you like?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. You know, it's really kind of daunting and sad to look at that field and not find anybody that's really simpatico. And the reason, as a libertarian, that's the case is I'm not looking to tell anybody what to do. I would just like to leave everybody alone and ask the same in return.
Yep.
And unfortunately, none of those guys are willing to do that.
Yeah, it looked like Rand Paul, you know, initially, when Rand Paul jumped into the Senate, it looked like he was going in that direction, but now that's switched, I think.
I think so, too, unfortunately. Of course, you know, on the other side of the fence, it's none too appealing either.
Yeah, so then what do you do? I mean, it comes down to this. I say this all the time because I'm always pushing for the third party. But, you know, when it comes to voting, do you just say, well, I got to sit this out because who am I voting for?
Well, there's lots of arguments to be made on that, but one of them that I think is pretty persuasive is by just withdrawing your consent. They desperately need the illusion, if not the actuality, of consent. That is the idea that most people have supported one or the other candidates, but when you break it down, particularly at the presidential level, what is it, something like about half the eligible voter pool votes, so that's about 50%, and then the winner typically wins by about 25%. So you've got a relatively small minority of the actual eligible voters who actually wind up selecting the president. So despite all the talk about democracy, majority rule, in fact, the minority rules.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And if you, like you said, if you do the math, it's simple math, then you realize what's really happening.
Exactly.
Really, really sad. Fun to talk to you, though, Eric Peters. Thanks for hanging late with us. And again, check him out at ericpetersautos.com. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
And nothing to see. Sometimes I feel like something is gone here. Something is wrong here.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass. With a ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.